Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are, middle of the week. How did we get here so quickly, huh? This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That is where you'll find the Listen Live button. That's also where you'll find the chat room under the tab curiously labeled Chat Room. You'll also find there the PayPal button and the traditional mail address if you want to help us keep this little effort on the air. We try to raise $150 every evening. This evening is no different. It could be considerably worse, save for the dedication of several wonderful people last night who helped us clear a bit of a lot of a backlog, so that all we have to do is get 15 folks to kick in 10 bucks tonight, and we're pretty much to the good. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. The Horn is an experiment in ongoing conversation radio. No ads here for Buy Gold Now or Swedish mattresses or bowling ball picking up vacuum cleaners or herbal erection concoctions or baldness remedies. Sorry. If you want that, you need to go listen to the right wing. But then again, you don't want to do that, being as how you are a fully functioning moral human being with a working, great big human brain. If you're listening on if you want to get a tablet device or listen on your smartphone or anything, by the way, we recommend the TuneIn Radio app, available for both Android and iPhone type devices, as well as Android and Apple tablet devices. It's right handy. There's a free version, and there's also a paid version that lets you do a few more things. There's also Stitcher Internet Radio, which is also very good as well. Now, it is the 28th day of August. Dr. Bill ran early today because he is participating in the Beckley, West Virginia version of Dancing with the Stars. And yes, Dr. Bill is one of the stars who is dancing. He's over practicing his cha-cha, his lambada, his merengue, his salsa, his tango, God knows what. There's a certain irony in the fact that he's practicing for Dancing with the Beckley Stars by dancing at the dump, really, the landfill. They're practicing at the landfill, even as we speak. And that comes off in a very short period of time. I'm hoping to get over to watch it happen. Good luck, Dr. Bill. But Dr. Bill ran from 2 to 4 today. That's why that's why it wound up running the way it did. The podcast for Dr. Bill, of course, is available for free under his with the feed address under his subdomain at whiterosesociety.org, as is the, and you can get the podcast feed for this program at the same place, or you can get it at iTunes too. So there's that. It's the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. And yes, we marked a significant, well, perhaps one of the most significant anniversaries in the American history of the 20th century today. I presume you have all heard the speeches and the speechifying and the remarks, and I'm not going to rehash any of that. No. We'll do what we do every Wednesday. Because Wednesday around here isn't just hump day, isn't just middle of the week, isn't just downhill to Friday. Oh no, brethren and sistren. Oh no. No, no. Wednesday here means prayer meeting Wednesday. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'll ask that we begin passing the plate through the audience during our offertory hymn. Ha! And if you'll just push the little button down there that says PayPal, whatever you can give, 5, 10, whatever. If we can just make our evening tithe of $150, we will be doing quite well, because we are running downhill to the end of August. We have tonight, tomorrow, and Friday to end it to the good. And by the way, I should also mention this before we bring up the Minister of Music. There will be no program tomorrow. There is a town hall meeting down in Charleston that I need to attend, and Ferg will be going with me, on West Virginia's energy future. And, of course, anytime you say energy in West Virginia, it means coal. And it will be available online. WCHS-TV is the one carrying it. If you look up WCHS-TV in the search engine of your choice, you'll probably find a link if you want to watch this thing. Bo Webb will be on the panel. It's going to be one of those 23rd Psalm kind of situations. You know, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Yeah, it's kind of Bo versus the world. So I can't let my brother just sit there surrounded and not have at least a little bit of moral support out in the audience. So that's where Ferg and I will be tomorrow evening. So no program. And then plans have changed somewhat. I had planned on leaving for Wisconsin either Sunday or Monday. I can't do that. So it's more like, so count on this program being here. No program on Monday since it's Labor Day, but Tuesday and Wednesday and probably Thursday as well before getting on a plane for Wisconsin. So that's the program schedule update. But now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and don't fall asleep, because I know you had dinner down to the fellowship hall. The cobbler is lovely this time of year. You know, the blueberries, the blackberries coming ripe and all. I had to fight the deacons to even get a piece. And the ice cream, the home-churned ice cream, oh, mercy. You got a full belly, and it's easy to doze off. But as you close your eyes and bow your head, just let that plate come on by. Push that little PayPal button. Hallelujah. Glory, as we invite the Minister of Music to come up and lead us in our offertory hymn. Brother, if you would, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say,
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, brethren and sistren. It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. We have chased the deacons out of the parking lot where they're out there smoking with the sinners. Run them through the vestibule, past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints, and down the aisle to where they can sit in the front row so I can get them with the flit gun when they start to nodding off. Hallelujah! Amen! Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Amen! This here is the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sisters, and I'm calling you to come on down that blood-red aisle and fall on your knees in front of the altar, laying your hands upon the glory subwoofer, and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high. Oh, mercy sakes, I am Archpope Uber Rabbi, inspired imam, antagonized agnostic, anticipatory animist, Bob Kincaid, and this is the Cathedral of Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Glory, hallelujah, amen, and amen, worlds without end. Ha! Yes, amen. We got to go now to America's greatest Christian. We go now to Brother Marion Robertson, former liquor supply officer, who is trying to warn America, trying to warn us of the great plot out there. You may remember that Louis Gohmert, a godly man in his own right last night, warned us of the plot to wipe out the Christians with vaccinations. Sister Lauren wrote in, and she said, listening to the podcast and hearing about measles in Texas, not sure if it is better or worse, but I know parents who chose not to vaccinate as they believe the BS about autism. There's a new theory out now that the age of the father actually contributes to autism, with geezer daddies now to blame. The parents I know insist that their kids can be vaccinated when they are adults, if they want to, thus need not fear getting hepatitis when they move to Asia or have sex with someone who's been there. The daughters won't get human papillomavirus or cervical cancer, as they will have enough sense not to get it. One of my favorite statements, Sister Lauren notes. No real worry that the little germ factories will get rubella and spread it to a fetus. Apparently that doesn't happen. The fact that no medical doctor would risk not vaccinating their kids, myself included, means nothing. Many of these people visit naturopaths and chiropractors, believe that they are allergic to gluten, and have some of the weirdest diets I have ever seen. They mean well, Bob. Smiley face. Thank you, Sister Lauren. Thank you very kindly. We were warned. We have been warned that there is a vast Obama, Kenyan, Muslim, socialist, anti-colonialist plot afoot to wipe out the believers, the Bible-believing Christians. So we had that warning, and this evening we have a patois that has been issued by Brother Minister Pastor Marion Robertson, former liquor supply officer. But apparently the patois wasn't completely done yet. It hadn't fully raised up. It hadn't discerned all the evil spirits out there. And once the folks, the dedicated folks at the Right Wing Watch put it up on Vine, they had a plum hissy. The 700 Club people did, the folks who work for Brother Pastor Minister Marion Robertson, former liquor supply officer. And they insisted it be took down. And then Right Wing Watch put it right back up again. We're about to find out if it stayed up, because, see, the patois wasn't, like I said, was not quite ready for prime time when the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky ordered Pat to put it out there. So they're going to get us with the vaccines, and they're coming after us with their FEMA re-education camps. The only problem with re-education camp being that it presumes an education in the first place. And well, look who we're talking about, Brother Pat. Just Well, you know who else is out to get you? Mm-hmm. The gays with their gay rings. Mm-hmm. One ring to rule them all. One ring to find them. One ring to bring them all and in the bathhouse bind them. Yeah, that. Oh, dang it. The 700 Club done censored the fatwa. The patwa. Well, that's okay. We can still tell you the story. I can still share it with you via our dear friends at Right Wing Watch. It's just a little bit more fun when Pat says it himself. We'll see if they got this one, too.
This is Ms. My Sunday school class was asked to give transportation for a man from a nursing home to Sunday services because, quote, his elderly father could not drive anymore. I drove him 20-plus times over several months. I found out 2 weeks ago he's dying of AIDS. I think those driving him should have been told his diagnosis in a private way. A few people in church knew. I did not. I feel deceived. What if we had had an accident? Did someone have a moral obligation to tell the drivers the truth? I haven't been back to church since I found out. I'm going somewhere else until I sort this out.
You know, I must confess, I don't know all the ramifications of infection with AIDS. I used to think it was transmitted by saliva and other things. Now they say it may be sexual contact. So what you want to...
Wait, in 2013, this is... Sherman! Okay, thank you, Sherman. Yeah, it's 2013, and Pat's just, Marion's just not sure about... No. We're going to run this clip because this clip is actually important. It's important because the Marion Robertson Broadcasting juggernaut has, let's see, they yanked it off of the video off of YouTube. They yanked it off of Vimeo, and here it is at Daily Motion. So I'm going to shut up and let's just go all the way through it.
This is Mary, who says, my Sunday school class was asked to give transportation for a man from a nursing home to Sunday services because, quote, his elderly father could not drive anymore. I drove him 20-plus times over several months. I found out 2 weeks ago he's dying of AIDS. I think those driving him should have been told his diagnosis in a private way. A few people in church knew. I did not. I feel deceived. What if we had had an accident? Did someone have a moral obligation to tell the drivers the truth? I haven't been back to church since I found out. I'm going somewhere else until I sort this out.
You know, I must confess, I don't know all the ramifications of infection with AIDS. I used to think it was transmitted by saliva and other things. Now they say it may be sexual contact. So what you want to say if you're driving an elderly man who's got AIDS, don't have sex with him. But that's a little too simplistic. I don't necessarily think he didn't get AIDS. So unless there's a cut or some bodily fluid transmission, mm-hmm. I think you're not going to catch it. But it's a horrible thing. And yeah. I don't know what to say. There are laws now. I think the homosexual community has put these draconian laws on the books that prohibit people from discussing this particular affliction. You can tell somebody they got a heart attack, you can tell them they've got high blood pressure, but you can't tell anybody they've got AIDS. So I don't know, you see, you didn't catch anything, so keep going to church and praise the Lord. You got any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think you were doing a good thing by transporting this man. I have known many people with AIDS and have never felt fearful, mm-hmm. you know, of a scenario like this. I guess I think even if you'd had a car accident.
You know they do in San Francisco, some of the gay community, they want to get people. So if they've got the stuff, they'll have a ring, you shake hands, and the ring's got a little thing where you cut your finger.
Really?
Yeah, really. I mean, it's that kind of vicious stuff, which would be the equivalent of murder.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I'd for that one, go
for
back to your...
For church is involved.
Yeah, go
I think
back to your church.
Yeah.
You're fine. Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Thank you, Right Wing Watch. Sincerely, thank you. So now there is at least one more place on the planet that has, if not the video, then an audio recording of Marion Pat Robertson, former liquor supply officer, mogul of the Christian, and we have to take him at his word, they're Christians, followers of Jesus. They believe everything that you have to believe to be a Christian, so therefore they are Christians. We have a record of Marion Robertson declaring that there is a secret cabal in San Francisco that have some sort of AIDS ring that cuts your hand when you shake hands and gives you the HIV in your cut in your hand so that you don't have to actually have the sex. And of course they're, I'm sure, coming after Marion. Don't shake hands in San Francisco, Marion! Marion? No, wait, that was Happy Days. But please to note that this whole wild, paranoid, freak show discussion begins with bigotry.
This is Mary, who says, my Sunday school class was asked to give transportation for a man from a nursing home to Sunday services because, quote, his elderly father could not drive anymore. I drove him 20-plus times over several months. I found out 2 weeks ago he's dying of AIDS. I think those driving him should have been told his diagnosis in a private way. A few people in church knew. I did not. I feel deceived. What if we had had an accident?
Well, I just hope that she had on clean underwear in case they had an accident. I mean, that's the in case you have an accident standard, isn't it? That you be wearing clean underwear? Because you wouldn't want to be embarrassed as you're laying there in extremis in the emergency room and they find out, well, you know, you didn't change them today. You get this? Because, see, that itinerant Palestinian illiterate day laborer and rabbi that they worship, he said, actually, that visiting and taking care of the sick was one of those things, one of those little boxes they check off up there when you shuffle off this here mortal coil. And it's one of those little boxes they check off to see if they're going to let you in and give you your halo and your harp so that you can go and plink away on a cloud somewhere for all eternity. But this Christian says she feels deceived because it's obvious she never would have consented to drive a person dying of HIV to church to worship her Jesus. And she's even walked out on the church now. And she's going somewhere else. Preferably one that's a little bit better at hating on the homosexuals. I mean, some people knew, but they didn't tell me. Well, Mary, that's probably because you're dumber than a bag of hammer handles. Not the hammers, the handles. Maybe dumber than the damn bag. What if we'd had an accident? Well, what if indeed? Mary, are you afraid that you might have been rendered unconscious and that the person with HIV would suddenly reach up and stab you with his AIDS ring? Or maybe he'd have some sort of sexual contact with you, even though, well, I mean, come on. Christianity just makes you feel like showering in bleach. And, of course, Marion's answer is, well, if you're driving an elderly man who's got AIDS, don't have sex with him. Then again, that might be sound advice for him out there because, well, they do like to boogie. Those fundamentalist Christians. But yes, there's a we now have a record. One more record out there in the ether of Marian Robertson talking about the desperate, vicious AIDS ring cult in which you can catch the AIDS by shaking hands with somebody who's wearing a ring with what? One of them little diabetes lancets on it? And is it pre-treated with the AIDS virus? Is that how it is? You know, this makes me so sick. Because among other things, as I do so often with cases of this sort of filthy bigotry, you know, I think back to our dear friend Peter Godbold. And the pioneering work that he did behind a microphone trying to teach people about what it is to live with HIV. And the stories and the people that he brought to his program. And the archives are still there at whiterosesociety.org if you want to go and have a look. They are brilliant. And deserve, they remain relevant. So, I'm especially offended when I hear this kind of insane crap. And remember, Pat Robertson gets to say it. Because his speech is religious speech, and therefore it's the most important speech of all. And he gets to say it because you, citizen, taxpayer, subsidize him to say it, even if you have never sent a dime to the Christian Broadcasting Network, even if you have never sent a dime. You're subsidizing it through the tax exemption that he gets in order to pump this filth into the ears and eyes of our country. Hey, thanks, Jason. Thanks a million. Thank you very kindly for getting us started this evening. Jason first in with contribution for tonight's fundraising. And now we only need 13 more people at $10 a piece, and bang, we're there. Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Sergi writing in from Fort Worth. So, according to Patty Cakes, I like that, AIDS may be transmitted by sexual contact. Sergi observing, the next thing we know, we might be finding out all kinds of outrageous things like you may get wet when going outside in a thunderstorm, that a stove that's been on for 10 minutes may be hot, and bears, I need my glasses changed, bears may occasionally take shits in the woods. Yes, a master of religious truth, a master of Christian truth, is Marian Robertson. And let me just take a little time out here to explain something. Jim brought it up on Friday, and our friend Cindy from the Northwest dropped in an email, sort of in agreement with Jim, saying that I'm too hard on the Christians. Well, I don't have any way of knowing who's a good one and who's a bad one, because they all believe the same thing. You know, born of a virgin, son of God, did miracles, tormented, beaten, crucified, killed, rose on the third day, sits at the right hand of God, and will in the last day will judge the just and the unjust. and the quick and the dead. Those are the requirements to get your club card. And Marion believes that, and Pope believes that, and that woman in Newark, Texas, that helped start a nasty little measles outbreak, she believes that. The Baptists believe it, the Presbyterians believe it, the Lutherans believe it, the Episcopalians believe it. The Greek Orthodox, the Syrian Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox, the Armenian Orthodox, the Coptics, all believe it. The Methodists believe it. So, how am I supposed to know? I mean, where's the line of demarcation? All I can call them is Christians. Just Christians. Because that's what they call themselves. That's what... When he was busy inventing the religion, that's what Saul of Tarsus, who went on the lam and took up an alias and started calling himself Paul. Aren't you Saul of Tarsus? Oh, no. It looks a lot like me, not me at all. No, I'm Paul. That's what Paul said you have to believe. So how am I supposed to sort him out? At the end of the day, James Hagee is a Christian. And so is let's pick a Christian we like. Reverend Jim Wallace. And Christians. And they're all going to the same heaven. And they're all forgiven. Whatever they do, whatever horror they commit on earth, they're all forgiven. So that's the conundrum for me. Some I despise more than others, some I don't despise. But for me to sit in judgment and say, this is a good Christian and this is a bad Christian, I can't. They all believe the same thing. Therefore, they are just Christians to me. And that's my only hope. I mean, It's the only way that I can figure we're expected to listen all over this country. Right wingers have hollered, you know, them Muslims need to do more to make it clear to us which ones is the good ones and which ones is the bad ones. But we can't apply the same standard to Christianity. Until such time as the good Christians, whoever they are, stand up and explain to the bad Christians, and we kind of get a pretty good idea of who they are, that no, they are not going to partake of the blessed salvation of Christ Jesus, then I'm kind of out here in the wilderness. You understand? I hope. Now we go back. We go back here now to another moment with Marion. And Lord, precious it is. And I do mean precious. Marion has some advice for a woman who's concerned about her boyfriend taste for porn. Because after all, there is that. What was that statistic that was discovered a few years ago? That the vast majority, that Christians consume porn at a much higher rate than normal people. Yeah. So. That's kind of where we find ourselves. So anyway, Marion, answering, and wouldn't you like to just get to know some of these people who write to Marion for advice? Because I think it would be positively fascinating. I mean, it would be like Marlon Perkins on Wild Kingdom. Wouldn't you love to meet Mary, who's terrified to drive someone with HIV to church? Or wouldn't you, this emailer who wrote to Marion about having caught her boyfriend watching porn and then having asked him to stop it, but then she caught him watching porn again. Now, in answer to her email, Marion said, "You know, how do you talk to a drug addict to get him to stop taking heroin? How do you talk to somebody to stop using marijuana? I don't think it's talking that does it. I mean, there has to be, in the case of a drug addict, some kind of deliverance process that goes on. Really? Deliverance? We're going to take a drug addict into the mountains of North Georgia and have him raped for a little bit? Ding, 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 ding. Porn is an incredible addiction because it touches a natural human desire. It just expands it and makes it so glamorous. But the Bible says flee fornication, and that is a... Fleas can fornicate? What? Never mind. And that is a type of fornication or adultery, and we're to flee it. Let us flee, said the fly, and let us fly, said the flea. And we're to flee it, but it has great appeal. But then we get down to the crux of Marion's advice. He tells her that she may not be addicted to pornography, but he's always going to be comparing you to those bosomy babes. Bosomy babes? He's always going to be comparing you to those bosomy babes that are dancing around on those porn flicks. See, that's what proves that Marion is hip, because he uses words like flicks and bosomy. And you don't want to be competing against something like that. If I were you, I'd say, sayonara. Leave. It's okay. You're not married. Walk away. Because they're not married. If they'd been married... he would advise her to stay in the marriage because, after all, you know, guys are just like that. He'll always be comparing you to those bosomy babes. Yeah, bosomy. And then, well, off to San Antonio. Here on this 50th anniversary of the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. Remember, jobs and freedom, not the March on Washington for the content of character or any of the other little phrases that right-wingers have used to make Martin Luther King Jr. into some sort of benign Santa Claus, the dark-skinned Santa Claus. By the way, St. Nicholas was probably pretty dark-skinned in his own right, but never mind. War on Christmas! They had a gathering at the San Antonio, Texas City Hall yesterday. It was a prayer gathering. KENS TV5 had the coverage. they also have a commercial. But that's all right. This is a public service address in particular about watering your grass in San Antonio.
Debate over changes to the city's non-discrimination ordinance draws new emotional debate today. Minority church leaders gathered on the steps of City Hall saying the LGBT community should not be given minority protection. Myra Moreno was there. She is now live with the latest. Myra?
Deborah, good afternoon there. This ordinance has been the talk of the town in San Antonio for quite some time now. Now, those church leaders from the African American community and Hispanic community say that if this passes, it will pose grave danger to their civil rights.
Let us pray.
Vamos ahora.
Father.
They prayed at the steps of City Hall. Dozens held banners with the simple words, vote no.
It is beginning to awaken.
Está empezando a despertar.
A voting block of this city.
In English and Spanish, church leaders and supporters from the African American and Hispanic communities say they will put a stop to the city's non-discrimination ordinance. They oppose the ordinance because they say they don't agree with the gay and lesbian lifestyle.
Because they have constantly trying to attach themselves as a civil rights movement, but it's not a civil rights movement, it's a movement of choice. And so with us being minorities, which I went to bed last night, I was a black man, I woke up this morning, I'm a black man, so I can't change it, it's my birth. Homosexuals were not born that way.
Last week, the LGBT community also rallied on the steps of City Hall. While different groups continue to voice their opinion.
And so when
former Congressman Charlie Gonzalez tells Ken's 5 he is having a tough time understanding why anyone would oppose the ordinance. He believes it offers all people equal treatment under the law.
No one is saying that you can't harbor bigotry and prejudice. You're just not allowed to act it out. Nor are people allowed to suffer as a result of your own prejudice and bigotry.
Tomorrow, city leaders expect a number of people to show up at the Citizens to be Heard session at 6 o'clock. They encourage anyone who may want to speak to register online. We have information for you on that on Kens5.com. For now, reporting live, Mayra Moreno, Kens5, Eyewitness News.
Yeah. So, tell me. How am I supposed to delineate are those good Christians or bad Christians? Or are they all going to go to heaven too and get a little lyre to plink on and a halo and maybe a little set of strap-on wings and go flitting around the clouds all day hollering Hosanna and Hallelujah? You tell me. Yes, Marty. Marty asking, wasn't Ted Bundy forgiven by one of the charlatans before he got his reward? He was. And therefore, Ted Bundy, saved, is in heaven. Can you imagine going up to the... Hey, isn't that Ted Bundy? Ha! Ah! Yeah, Christianity says he's saved. Marty with a trenchant question. You know, it does bring up the question, just how does Marion Robertson know about the women in the porno flicks? Has Charles Taylor been telling him? Woo! Good one. Good one, Marty. And Marty also notes, someone needs to play Dr. King's words about injustice anywhere being a threat to justice everywhere. Yeah, just like so many parts of the Bible, that's one of those things that those good Christians don't really read because it's kind of inconvenient. Marty pointing out, remember what I said about there being no bigger bigot than a black Christian? Well, there you go. Tim from L.A., who is working his butt off toward his master's degree. Good luck, Tim. We're all behind you. Tim from L.A. says, I can tell you who's a good Christian. I'm an atheist and full-fledged member of a Unitarian Universalist church. We have Christians in the congregation who follow what you said, but they're not against LGBTQs. They support same-sex marriage. They also recognize Bradley Manning as really Chelsea Manning and are good people. The Christians I know don't care that I'm an atheist, and we work together to end injustice in the world, detest racism, and know that AIDS, HIV, is not a homosexual disease, but a virus that kills human beings. Though I may not agree with their belief, they will stand by me side by side and care about the world collectively. So, yes, maybe in the minority, they do call Mary and Patricia Robertson a moron. So, yeah, there are good Christians out there. And that's, I didn't say there weren't. That's the whole thing. And you know, Tim lays it out nicely. I didn't say there aren't. But I'm in no position to delineate one from the other. Because you know what? If what they preach is true, Fred Phelps is going to the same heaven that Mother Teresa went to, that Hitler went to. All forgiven, loved by Jeebus. So there. I mean, it's just what it is. Don't blame me. It's just how the racket works. And it's part of the reason that I can't... No, I can't play. I can't take cards in that game. Just can't. And you know, of course, that I'm kind of partial to the classics and ancient history and so forth. Well, such being the case, and since we're talking about all these upstanding, God-fearing folks opining on, you know, how gay people need to be living their lives... let's check in, by all means. Let's check in with a member of God's political party, you know, the Republicans. New Mexico State Senator Bill Scherer, he's a pig licking from Farmington, New Mexico, and he can't stand the idea of any of that there gay marrying going on. And he says that gay marrying that it's been wrong since even before the Judeo-Christians. He's one of those folks who jumps out there and has to put Judeo in front of Christian to kind of get a little bit of cover for himself. But he wrote a blog last week, New Mexico State Senator Bill Scherer did, the following, quote, Alexander the Great, 356 to 323 B.C., married a Bactrian woman, modern-day Afghanistan. Her name, by the way, was Oksana. Alexander may have engaged in homosexual activity, but he married a woman. He directed his officers to stop whoring around and find local women to marry. Sex between a man and a woman produces babies. Society needs babies. Babies need both moms and dads. Now, he got himself all up into a lather because, similarly to what happened in Pennsylvania, a county clerk in Doña Ana County started issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Right-wing Repiglick and God-fearing representing Shearer has taken a solemn vow to prevent any more of them gay marrying licenses from being issued. But he doesn't want people thinking he's just some Christian bigot. I mean, dude even tried to cite Confucius and Native American tribes for his marriage is a sacred union between one man and one woman. Whew. Why they can't mind their own business is just beyond me. I'm whipped. I'm licked. And then, of course, I don't know if he was taking the week off or what, but I got to admit, I don't have any Chappie Klingenschmidt audio this week. I apologize. But I think I do have some Brian Fisher. Which is every bit as much fun as Louis Gohmert was yesterday. I just have to find it. It's it's an interesting dichotomy. I think we can, well, it's a real mind bender. Because Brian Fisher took to the air, and remember, these right wingers were diehard, hardcore, anti-Soviets, anti-communists. Except now they're not. Brian Fisher likes him some Vladimir Putin. I mean, he really, really likes him some Vlad Putin. You get the idea, Brian Fisher might actually kind of like to maybe live in Mother Russia.
There's a lot of reasons for what Russia's doing here. I think part of it actually comes from their Christian heritage. They're trying to scramble their way back to some approximation of Christian morality. They're a long way from getting there, don't misunderstand me. But I think it's part of it. They understand that homosexual behavior is a moral evil among teenagers. Now, they need to get to the point where they recognize it's a moral evil for anybody, but at least they're ahead of us on recognizing that it's a moral evil to propagandize this lifestyle among teenagers. Now, it's been interesting to me that the silence in the pro-family community in America. I don't know if I've heard hardly anybody in the pro-family community in America speak up in defense of this law, and I'm here to do that today. I've got a column up at our blog site, rightlyconcerned.com, in which I defend this law. It's kind of striking to me because what Russia's done here with this law is they have expressed the values that we have been advocating for years and years and years. We think this is risky behavior. It's a risky lifestyle. It's unnatural. It's unhealthy. It's dangerous. It's immoral. We should not be propagating this among our teenagers. Well, this is exactly what Russia has established as official public policy. So in my mind, we ought to be celebrating this. And I don't know what the timidity is, why there's such a hesitancy in the pro-family community to support this law. I'm not sure what the reason for that is. But this is public policy that we've been advocating, and here's a nation in the world that's actually putting it into practice.
Thanks again to our friends at Right Wing Watch. He doesn't understand why people aren't out there just hollering praise for Vladimir Putin for running a, you know, little dictatorial state where people are beaten to death for how they love other human beings. Wow. And Brian Fisher's another one of those guys who is going to be welcomed into Christianity. Howdy doodles. Oh, hooray for Tim. I completed my master's program. Yay. That's Tim from L.A., comma, capital M, period, capital A, period. I'm assuming it's an A. Is it an M.A. or an M.S., Tim? You'll have to let me know. Jim still can't quite get over the fact that, question, please, then who is asking you to take any position? There are so many other problems you need to address, as have stated previously. You have, as stated before, you have no cards in this game. Well, no, I don't, Jim, but that's the whole point. These people are poisoning our country. They are out to destroy our country. And to remain silent in the face of evil is to be complicit in the evil. I think we can agree with that. Jude writing in a quote from our dear friend Juanita in Florida. Hi, Juanita. We haven't heard from you in a very long time. We worry about you. We love you. During one of our many dialogues, out of our most dear Juanita, this easily flowed from her well of wisdom. Some of the best Christians I know are atheists. She is a true treasured friend. Indeed, she is. Thank you, Jude, for sending that along. It's so very true. And so, at 3 minutes before 7 p.m. here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, we find ourselves at that portion of the program where I say, here endeth the lesson, or at least here taketh Bob a break from the filibobster and openeth up the phone lines. You know the number, right? 304-658-3333. And, of course, the Skype line is Bob Kincaidhorn, BobKincaidHorn. Bob Kincaidhorn. So, a little break, and then we'll be back. We're still looking for somebody to jump in there with Jason and help us along the way to the $150 we need to raise tonight. Nobody's jumped in with Jason just yet. We're still at $20 and $130 to go. Hopefully, that will change. This is Conversation Radio. This is The Horn.
I once thought of love as a prison, a place I didn't want to be. So long ago, I made a decision to be footloose and fancy free. But you came and I was so tempted to gamble on love just one time. Perfect crime.
Yeah, I guess that would be lock me up and throw away the key in the FEMA re-education camp, right? Yeah, this is the horn. 1 minute past 7 p.m., and that, of course, a classic old chestnut from Alabama. Jan and Jerry in Nevada. Religion. Touchy, touchy subject, but that is what this show is about. I do get tired of listening to people trying to shut down your opinion. I do not agree with you on everything. However, I do agree with your right to state your opinion and present the facts as they are flung out there, and you do deal in truth. On your side, signed, Jan and Jerry. Thank you. Thank you very much. That is deeply comforting. I kid you not. And I guess part and parcel of this, I mean, for instance, when a member of a state legislature, for instance, let's just posit a hypothetical state legislature. When a member of a state legislature offers a bill saying that churches should get breaks on gasoline prices, but that there should be no law that protects LGBT people from discrimination. Well, you see the nature of the problem. And when he does both of those things because his Jesus tells him to do that, are we to remain silent? Are we not to point out that that is the very antithesis of the essence of the principles on which this country was founded? Because, see, that's not a hypothetical legislator. That's a guy who served in the legislature that I know. See the problem with the misplaced modifiers? This is, the trail through the valley that the Army made. Throw me down the stairs, my hat. Throw Mama from the train a kiss. That's not a hypothetical legislator. That's a West Virginia legislator of some years back, whom I know, who held those opinions, and to this day holds those opinions. Because, the homosexuals are again God's law. Jesus. Hey, you want the fun part? He called himself a progressive Democrat. Really? Really? There is, it's a phrase coined by Bismarck, there is a Kulturkampf going on in this country. And guess what? The other side is winning. And not only are they winning, they're pretty convinced that they're just a hell of a lot smarter than you are. Witness the aforementioned Brian Fisher.
In other words, you cannot become a wise, discerning person. It's not possible unless you begin with the fear of the Lord. If you start any other place, you're not going to be wise, and you're not going to be discerning. And that explains, that is the basic divide in our culture. That is the divide in our culture. You want to look, it's not liberal versus conservative. It's not Democrat versus Republican. The divide in our culture is between those who fear the Lord, have a reverence for the Lord, and those who do not. You want to understand why people seem so clueless? We talk every day for 2 hours about how clueless people on the left are. Why is that? Because they do not have the fear of the Lord. You can't be clued in, you can't be discerning, you can't be perceptive, you can't be wise unless you begin with a holy reverence for God.
You got that? And I'm kind of down with old Brian on this one. If he was real, I'd fear him. Because if you read their books, he's pretty much a psychopath. Sending bears out to devour children, ordering entire peoples to be slain to the last human being. Hell, there's the Book of Job, which these clowns say is literal, really happened. In which Job loves the Lord, and in return for loving the Lord, gets his entire family killed, and all of his animals, and his house taken away, and his skin covered in boils. And he's supposed to just sit there and say, thank you, Lord. Yeah, we're the ones who don't discern anything. Meanwhile, they read from a book that they don't even remotely understand and think that they've got a handle on how we need to live our lives. It's like that clown from the clip a little bit ago in San Antonio. I went to bed last night and I was black, and I woke up this morning and I was black. I can't change that. But those homos, they choose to do that. To remain silent in the face of evil is to be complicit in the evil. Yeah, Tim from L.A., yeah, people get eaten by a big fish. So, you get the idea. But there is a... Oh, by the way, a note coming in from Jenny. Welcome to Wisconsin. Remember, don't sing. It'd be deeply tempting to go up and sing a little in the state, but then again, I can't afford the bail. Oh, no. Thanks, Jenny. Thank you. Good luck in the move. So, on to other topics. Let's see. The guy who's running as a Republican against Cory Booker, who isn't much of a Democrat in New Jersey, is apparently doing all he can to make sure that Booker wins. Now he's decided that he's just not sure. Well, Cory Booker answered some question about how he feels about people thinking he's gay. And he said, gosh, I hope people aren't voting for me because they're making a presumption that I'm straight. And lo and behold, tempest in a teapot. Is he gay? Is he straight? Who cares? And it's all because he's got a thing for manis and pedis. You know, like Tim Tebow. In after the mani and pedi and all that stuff, his opponent, Lonergan, right-winger, Alec type. By the way, did you know... I was not surprised. I just need to put this out there because it needs to go into the sort of general consciousness. There's an ALEC, you know, American Legislative Exchange Council. There's an ALEC caucus or something like that in the Senate of the United States. It's made up of 7 or 8 Republicans and 1 Democrat. Anybody want to guess who the 1 Democrat is? Yeah, Joe Manchin, my senator. Nice. Eesh. He was supposed to be on the town hall panel that's taking place in Charleston tomorrow night. But I guess he heard that Bo was going to be on the panel, and, well, Joe turned and fled. He scampered. He scampered off. Bravely ran away. I didn't. When Bo Webb raised his ugly head, he bravely turned his tail and fled. Joe Manchin chickened out. Right. So, in response to the questions of whether Cory Booker is gay or not, Steve Lonergan said that Booker's comments are weird. And then doubling down, he said, as a guy, I personally like being a guy. Well, that's probably got the wrong accent there. Probably right mindset, wrong accent. As a guy, I personally like being a guy. I don't know if you saw the stories last year. They've been out for quite a bit about how he likes to go out at 3 o'clock in the morning for a manicure and a pedicure. That's almost more Chicago, isn't it? I need to work on that. Lonergan wanted to make sure that that good New Jerseyans understand that there is a clear distinction between him and Cory Booker, because he described Cory Booker going out for a mani and a pedi at 3 o'clock in the morning as a fetish, and then said, Me, I like a good scotch and a cigar. That's my fetish, but we'll just compare the two. He's down 54-38% against Booker. And, you know, more the pity of it all is that New Jersey's not going... Oh, my God. Not much of a Democrat, Cory Booker. One of those people that he's into... Cory Booker's into that third-way BS. And he's not sure, you know, we may be able to fix America by just a little bit of judicially applied granny starving. Judiciously, not judicially. Judiciously applied granny starving. Oh, and by the way, hooray. A jury has decided that, what's his name? Nidal Hassan, was that the Fort... The guy simply referred to as the Fort Hood shooter. The jury said, you know what? You know what we need to do to him? We need to kill him in the name of the United States of America because, you know, we're a Christian nation. Nidal Hassan killed 13 people, wounded 32 others, went on a shooting spree, served as his own lawyer, didn't put up much of a defense, didn't offer any mitigating evidence, and so has received a unanimous jury verdict that he should be executed, and the judge didn't waste any time accepting that jury verdict. And a panel will now review it and decide whether or not Major Hassan needs to be murdered by us, you know, we the people, trying to form that more perfect union. Whether he needs to be murdered by us in retribution and vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Oh no, no, it's ours. Whether or not vengeance should be meted out in the form of... What do we get in the military? Firing squad? Horizontal crucifixion? Not sure. But remember, the Saudis are the barbarians because they cut people's heads off. We kill them. We kill them with chemicals. We're ever so much better than they are. No, we're perfectly matched as far as buddies go. Stories out, of course, that the Obama administration is absolutely convinced of the truth that that the Assad regime used chemical weapons. Any ideas where we're getting that information? I had a couple of notes from Mr. Stress, Bill in Cleveland, pointing to the fact that we're probably only getting our information that chemical weapons were used from a single source that was provided to the German intel services and to us. And, of course, we've got several destroyers out there, and each cruise missile costs about $1.5 million. And we're also stating that regime change is not our goal in Syria. Well, I feel so much better now. As long as we're not going to be changing regimes or anything, then, you know, fire! No. Sorry. But the Obama administration says it really hasn't made up its mind about what it's going to do yet. That's not to say, however, that the for-profit media aren't doing all in their power to try to gin this country into a crazed war frenzy, even though a majority of the people of the United States say they really don't want to see us doing anything like that. Headline over at Chicken Noodle News, XVP, Al-Assad brutal and indecisive. Brutally indecisive. It's interesting. So, who is the XVP? Cheney? Oh, maybe it's one of his ex... What? Well, we're just going to have to look and find out now, aren't we? Well, a ruler shaped by violence and indecision, say former insiders. Well, man, this is... Really? You're going to write something like this and you're not going to tell me who the former insider is in the first four little short paragraphs? But no, we're ginning up the call to war for all we're worth, even though most of America doesn't want anything to do with it. Sergi writing in for Fort Worth. Subject line, it isn't, but it is. So Brian Fisher says that it's not about liberal versus conservative, and then immediately condemns the left. I don't know how this dude can put his pants on in the morning without injuring himself, much less do a broadcast. Velcro, Sergi. Velcro. I got one word for you, kid. Velcro. In the 60s, it was plastics. Velcro. Marty noting, apparently, Joe Manchin, that's M-A-N-C-H-I-N, by the way, Marty, M-A-N-S-I-O-N, paren, S-P, question mark, close paren. Apparently, Joe Manchin got the question, what is the capital of Assyria at the bridge? Joe's working tirelessly to see that Shelley Moore Capito, the daughter of West Virginia's most famously corrupt governor, Arch Moore, is elected to the Senate. They're trying to keep anybody from actually running as a Democrat against Shelley Moore Capito. Shelley looks like her daddy in a bad wig, by the way. Eesh. I got a story here that's going to be kind of hard to stomach. And I don't know if I'm going to hold on. I'm going to hold off. Lines are open, 304-658-3333. Bob Kincaid Horn on the Skype line. And we will go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
And how are you tonight, Bob?
Oh, I'm hanging in. It's a little warm in here, but it's warmed up again. It was cool for a little while, but it looks like we're going to have late summer.
Yeah, it is 80 degrees here. I was watching the news tonight about the Syrian situation, and I saw the interview with Gwen Ifill and Judy Woodruff with the president, and they were asking some very pointy questions. Exactly, what good would it do to pump cruise missiles into Syria, and how in the world is that going to ameliorate the situation?
What kind of answer did he come up with?
He simply said, "I have not made a decision yet, but I hope to God he does not elect to do so." That is something that I feel like is going to escalate into something beyond control.
Well, Jim, I mean, what is the point of firing a few $1.5 million per each cruise missiles into Syria? At what? Command and control, airstrips? I mean, what?
Degrading assets.
And what happens when one of those little genius pieces of machinery goes off course and the assets that we degrade turn out to be little children?
Well, that's a collateral thing about war. I mean, there's no way you can guarantee that there will be no collateral casualties or deaths or anything like that with any type of weapon like that. We do not have weapons that sophisticated that can differentiate between military assets and human beings. And I don't know exactly what the solution is going to be, because we've got other nations that are involved in this, and obviously the UN can't take care of it because of the vetoes on the Security Council by China and the Russian Republic. So I guess it's going to be up to the president. I would hope, and of course, you know, I may die hoping, I'm sure I will in many cases, that the presence of a strong statement would be enough to prevent, defer the use of any type of chemical or biological weapons or whatever they're using, because I'm not really sure, and I'm not an expert on that particular part of the world, and I'm not going to pretend to be.
Well, these things just sort of play out in my mind, Jim. Things like, what happens if we lob some cruise missiles at Syria, and in return, Iran lobs some Al-Gilhuli missiles at Israel? Then Israel has to lob some sort of something at somebody else, and well, the next thing you know, as the saying goes, Jim, there goes the neighborhood.
Or yeah, we're back to 1914 again, and also it would be like, as I've used this analogy before, throwing a tennis ball into a room filled with mouse traps so they're loaded with other tennis balls. That's going to be a chain reaction.
Yeah.
And I would hope that they will not do this. I mean, you know, I'm not unfamiliar with military tactics and the ramifications of military action.
And the ramifications, more I think more direly and more importantly, Jim, of military mistakes.
Yes, military mistakes. I mean, you know, I can see no reason why the president should authorize this type of action. I would hope that Assad and his family would realize that what do they have to gain by continuing to use weapons against their own people in order to...
Well, don't you figure that he's probably robbed enough from the treasury of Syria and has it stashed away in a Swiss bank account? Don't you figure he's robbed enough to maybe choke a great blue whale?
Well, I would hope that he would. They normally do in that part of the world because regime changes seem to be pretty often and come fairly quickly, and you best have a way out of town. And, you know, but of course, this is not our objective. Our objective in this case is not a regime change. But I just wonder how much of that is just rhetoric, because I don't know. I mean, the last I heard before all this started was Vanity Fair calling Mrs. Assad the Rose of the Desert or something like that. I didn't realize things had gotten that bad. I haven't followed it that closely in, you know, not recently, but in the distant past. And now, since this Arab Spring thing has erupted, there is a lot of consternation and a lot of change in the Middle and in the Near East, I guess, with the fall of Mubarak and Gaddafi and other states there. If the whole thing has always been a tinderbox, and of course I forgot to mention that Saddam Hussein in Iraq, which was a very bad mistake, and you know, you just don't lob missiles and things of that nature without having to come in physically and consolidate whatever you think you have won. And I just feel like the best thing that one can do is what Sun Tzu said, the best thing to do is not to fight at all. And maybe the situation there could be remedied by the people in that part of the world without our having to intervene. I mean, all this is leading to is a problem with a much larger country, and that is the Russian Republic, because they, if I'm not mistaken, and please correct me on this, are supporters of the Syrian regime.
Absolutely.
And, of course, they are known, Mr. Putin and his confederates, and we talked about that night before last, about being children of the former Soviet Union and that and the other, and members of the KGB and other organs of state security are not exactly known for their restraint when it comes to any opposition. And I just don't like the idea of tweaking the Russian bear's nose any more than we have to, because that nation is in a state of transition itself, in a state of flux, trying to find itself, after living 70 years under a very harsh dictatorship. And, you know, I would hope that that country is becoming gradually. It's not going to be like we would like to see it, but as I said the other night, a more liberal and humane part of the world. And so that's basically all I have to say. I can see no reason why we need to have to stir up a hornet's nest that doesn't need any more stirring, because it's getting pretty frenetic over there,
to say the very least.
I mean, that's the only solution I can see, and I don't have a whole lot of I don't have access to what these people know, but I do know that you don't make a bad thing better by doing bad things and furring, you know, and excuse me, stirring up or killing more people, because these very smart bombs and things of that nature. I would guess Obama is hoping he can use those as an attention getter. That's the best thing I can see about that. And I don't know. I'm sure there are other people within the sound of my voice who could probably contribute a lot more to this conversation than I can.
Well, I mean, it was pretty easy to talk about the run-up to the Iraq War, Jim, because it was so manifestly obvious that it was evil and wrong. And this, I mean, they were talking about regime change and aluminum tubes and, you know, Colin Powell forever flushing his reputation down the toilet at the UN.
Yellow cake powder from Nigeria.
Right. There's none of this. There's no sense to it. It's almost as though the president is being just sort of goaded along by Lindsey Graham and John McCain and the weirdo wackos of the right wing and the cruise missile liberals of allegedly our side. And I kind of challenge that assertion, you know.
I can understand that, but I'm sure he is consulted with his National Security Administration and his chain of command. And, of course, you're always going to have people in the Pentagon who have only one solution to a problem, and that is...
shoot at it!
To use whatever is in its inventory, promising that it will only incur a minimal amount of damage. And, of course, when the damage is incurred, it is never minimal, and its result is increasing hatred and violence. I mean, I'm just at the point where after the other wars in which we've embroiled ourselves, Iraq and other situations, that no positive...
Well, and we've got such an ugly little history, Jim. I don't know if you saw it or not, but it has become clear, for instance, do you remember when dim leaders said things like, he's a brutal dictator who gassed his own people? Remember that?
Yeah, I remember the stories about Chemical Ali and all these people who...
Right. Well, it turns out that the U.S. intel apparatus helped Saddam Hussein target Iranian forces for chemical weapons attacks. Not once, not twice.
Oh, you mean back during the Six-Year War?
During the Iran-Iraq War, yes.
Okay, yeah.
You know, back when Ronald Reagan was saying, we deplore the use of chemical weapons, and we didn't have anything to do with it, and even if we did, I can't remember if I recall whether I have a recollection, Mommy.
Yeah.
I mean, that filthy old bloodthirsty killer was doing all that at the same time that we were actively participating in targeting sites for chemical weapons attacks using chemical weapons, which, of course, we had sold to them.
Well, it is questionable. Our motives are questionable and less than honorable. Because basically, we have done the same thing to these people in that particular conflict that is being done locally within Syria. And there simply has to come a point in which we have to stop and just think. And I'm afraid gunboat diplomacy is not exactly what it used to be. That's been one of our greatest tactics to put the fleet. We have a number of naval assets and Air Force assets in that area, which are quite capable of doing a great deal.
Oh, I'm sure we've got an aircraft carrier somewhere that can get busy.
Well, we do.
And, of course, the cruise missiles are all aboard things like destroyers, and there's three or four of those hanging out off the Levant.
I'm not sure how many they sorted the fleet weeks ago, so I don't know how many assets are in that area, but I would hope that the president will elect to take his hand off that particular trigger because of the force multiplier. And by that, I don't mean the use of a weapon effectiveness, but what I'm talking about is the conflict that it could really start over there. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that world wars are made of.
Yeah, and over petty differences, Jim, because among other things, I follow some of the right wing's blatherings out there as sort of an I listen to it so you don't have to kind of approach. And you know, they're hollering, you know, he's weak. Talking about Obama, he's weak. So once again it comes down to some sort of a testosterone concept where he has to prove his potency by slaughtering some children.
Well, they're more than children to be slaughtered. They're more than, you know, it's just people in general. And
right. Yeah, I mean, you know, some old women, some old men, some children.
Well, I mean, like I said, in any type of conflict, whatever it is, I mean, that is necessary. I mean, for example, in World War II, we couldn't exactly discriminate when we firebombed cities in the Third Reich and other...
And Japan, the firebombing of... It's worth remembering that the conventional firebombing of Tokyo did more damage than the atomic bombs did.
Well, of course, I mean that's because when the Air Force General Staff under Curtis, when they realized exactly that most Japanese homes were built out of wood and rice paper and stuff like that, that it would cause damage. But nonetheless, that was a different war, and you know, after having to.
Well,
that war the way we did, and I for one would have supported what was done to Nagasaki and Hiroshima if that could have saved so many lives as I think it did.
There is evidence to the contrary, but we won't go into that now. The larger point, though, being that that the Syria thing looks a hell of a lot more, Jim, like just lobbing some death in there because we can.
Well, I understand that. But going back to one last thing about the purple, about the cat would have occurred had we invaded the Japanese home island. They have had to make no more Purple Hearts since World War II because they made so many that they were going to have to use for our own soldiers and stuff like that. They've not had to manufacture that particular decoration because they still have something left over. So Truman was faced with a very serious decision there, and so much money had been...
Well, the only decision he was faced with was whether or not to stop it, because the default position was to drop it.
Well, Bob, we gave them every opportunity to stop. We did. And he told them, point out, he said, look, if you continue this war, there will be a rain of destruction that will fall upon from your skies.
But in June of 1945, the Japanese sued for peace, saying the only thing they hoped, the only thing that they wanted to keep was their emperor.
Well, exactly.
So then we dropped we became the only country ever to attack another country with atomic weapons, and secured a surrender in which they kept the emperor.
So even then, you had forces in the Japanese military that were going to try to capture the emperor's recording and continue the war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a
oh, the military time. the military junta was crazed.
Yeah, exactly.
Tim from L.A. writes in the chat room. He says, the firebombing of Tokyo, which a family friend and relative experienced, differs from Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The after effects of the nuke bombing is continuing in Japan to this day.
Well, Hiroshima is a place where you can at least live, and the city's been rebuilt. The real nuclear threats now in Japan are not coming from Hiroshima, but from Fukushima. And, of course, that's exactly the after effects of the use of any type of nuclear device, whether it's for peace or for war. But this thing from Fukushima is really a bloody mess. That's all I can say.
And, by the way, where Syria is concerned, Jim, Blake and Madison pointing out in the chat room, you got to remember the list of countries that were on our short list for regime change, according to the retired General Wesley Clark. We had Syria in our sights at least 12 years ago. Obama gets in, does the largest arms deal in history with Saudi Arabia, crap hits the fan in Syria, and Saudi Arabia arms the extremists.
Well, there is a Saudi prince, I understand, who is advocating armed intervention by the use of whatever weapons we have into Syria. But here again, we're playing upon the harsh feelings that these countries have upon one another. And as far as I'm concerned, that is a move toward greater instability and playing up to people who do not really have anyone's best interest at heart except their own. And that's my only contribution for the conversation tonight, because I may have other callers who'd like to talk. And so I just wanted to interject that I don't agree with the use of these weapons. I hope it will not happen. But if it does, it's going to be Katie bars the door.
Just a straight-up mess.
Indeed. All I can see how it is. And, you know, I just don't want to see this done anymore. I mean, we've had too many lessons with Iraq and the destabilization of that country and what was done to it. And even though Saddam was no Santa Claus or anything like that, is better than the mess we've stirred up today, which I don't think will ever, at least not within our lifetimes, ever, you know, bring that country back to where it was. I mean, we took a former ally who was really a pro-Western and also a pro-secular government and turned it into a jihadist mess, in which, you know, we created a vacuum over there into which all types of things have been poured.
Sure, that's why Daddy Bush said, no, we're not going to move on to Baghdad, because we don't want to remove Saddam Hussein, because we just want to neutralize him, because it would create an ungodly power vacuum over there to take him out.
Yeah, I was actively involved in Desert Storm, and I remember that. I certainly do. And you certainly don't want to create power vacuums and things of that nature, because when you do, you will have things sucked in there which are even worse.
Yeah, you'll meet things in broad daylight that you don't want to meet.
Exactly. And that's the reason that Bush 41 realized, you know, let's stop and let's let things cool off, and, you know, we've given Saddam fair warning. He's seen the results of what did happen. And then, of course, the forces were withdrawn from Kuwait, and it was a total debacle as far as the Iraqi army was concerned.
And a decade later, along comes a son, an eldest son, with severe Oedipal issues, and says, in front of a reporter who took it down accurately, F. Saddam, we're taking him out.
I do believe he did say that, and he did act very quickly and very decisively, but of course not to our own advantage. And now we have a situation over there. I don't know how many people we've lost. I don't know how many people they've lost. but it's really changed the entire complexion of that part of the world, and not for the better. And Bob, I'm going to leave you because you got other people who want to talk. So you take care, and good luck with your meeting in Charleston with whatever you're going to have to do.
Yeah, that town hall should be interesting.
All right, you take care.
All right, thanks, Jim. And, yeah, a reminder, no show tomorrow night will be a rerun, as I will be in Charleston at a... And if you want to stream it, I think it's going to stream live. WCHS TV, just look them up on your search engine of choice and sort of maybe give a little remote emotional support to Bo Webb as he is surrounded by people who favor poisoning West Virginians for profit. A lone voice crying in a for-profit wilderness. So, Syria? Yeah, why not? Why not? Because, well, a lot of people are going to die. And we probably... And I'm deeply conflicted about even approaching this from this or any other angle. You know, we're not going to kill Bashar Assad. We've got laws against doing that. And we're not going to take out the senior general staff. If we don't actually kill a bunch of women and children and old men and workaday shopkeepers and so forth, that'll be kind of a miracle. But even so, what if we kill, you know, some conscripts? Some guys who didn't really want to be in the army, but they kind of got forced into it, and all they were hoping to do was do their jobs and eventually get home to their families. Well, you know, they're fair game, right? Sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Sandra's with us. Hey, Sandra. You there, Sandra? Sandra? Huh. Oh, thought I had her. Try back, Sandra. And it is not inspiring, as I note that I hear significant peals of thunder outside that usually bodes ill for our internet connectivity. So if we happen to go away, it'll be because we got knocked off the air by a thunderstorm that took out our two tin cans, two dented tomato cans, and a string interweb tube. Yeah, there's Sandra. Hey, Sandra.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Pretty good. About you?
That's all right. Listen, I just wanted to chime in on the whole Syria thing. I mean, the thing that people should be aware of is that, you know, recently the Gussies have been winning. So keep that in mind, as I go forward with this. Now, they're winning. They're well aware of the risks that, you know, what would happen if they were to unleash the chemicals. Now, you're winning. There's no reason for you to chemical gas your people. So from that point is where you should be really skeptical, because Assad hasn't been in power for as long as he has by being a complete maniac. So he's winning. He's not going to gas his people. But the people who are losing may gas, because that would bring the wrath. I'm real skeptical about this. I just think...
Well, are you aware of where this intel... I mean, where people say the intel about the Assad regime being responsible for the attacks, are you aware that where that's coming from?
I don't know. Where is it coming from? Israel?
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. That's about as credible as if it was coming from North Korea. Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't...
the claim as I read it, and Bill provided this via email, forwarded along to me, so I don't know what the credibility is of the claim itself, but the assertion was that the Israelis have provided intel to Germany and the United States based on their hacking or intercepting or whatever of internal Assad regime communications that basically the chemical weapons attack.
Right, but they don't know.
I read that with a real jaundiced eye.
No, but even with that intel, even if that was correct, they also admit that, because I know what you're talking about now, they also admit that they don't know if it's a rogue type of situation either. They have no conclusive evidence that there's a chain of command with the ordering of the gas, too. So even that intel isn't, clear. And mainly, though, if you think about the R2P, the responsibility to protect thing, excuse me, but bombing, killing people to protect people from being killed, which is what that policy should be called.
It sounds a little bit mad.
Well, it's just craziness. It's bonkers. And,
Well, I was just going to say, there's this thing that I saw earlier today, and I'm sure you're aware of it, too. I watch all this for-profit media posturing, because you know, whether it's Fox or MSNBC or CNN, this is going to be great for the ad rates, right? And so necessarily, I mean, it's like that headline I had from Chicken Noodle News a little bit ago, where they're asserting that now that, and you just said it a little bit ago, this guy's ruled for 12 years, and so lo and behold, there's the headline that I referenced from the CNN website just a few minutes ago, all about how he's stable and he's brutal, but he's indecisive. And you know, here comes the propaganda machine. Jesus, could it be any more obvious, Sandra?
Oh, I know. It's just so obvious. But what is also very obvious is that there is no stomach. I mean, you got a situation here where the rulers, which is what I'm now going to start calling people who are in charge in this country now, because it's way, way up north. We have rulers who don't give a flying F about what the huge mass majorities of people are clamoring about. They are not interested. They don't give a fuck if it's a nuclear bomb gone off. They don't want the U.S. to be involved. I mean, the polling keeps saying 9% are okay with it. 9% is not what you use to take a country to war.
No, but they're trying. They're going to try to gin that number up a little bit, doesn't it? I mean,
well,
isn't that what it looks like?
I don't know. I just think that, I just think that whatever you want to say about the Americans, I think that the WMD Bush thing is still quite fresh. People remember, you know, what that was about.
Yeah,
so,
a lot of kids back home in cardboard boxes.
So it's, I really think that it's not a slam dunk, but if they go ahead and start a shelling or whatever they're doing, I mean, it's just like a representative democracy. It's over.
No, I've got a note here from Jack who says, "Is a missile or a few of punishment really going to be effective in deterring a person that does not hurt him personally? A person that doesn't care about his own people in the first place, assuming that Assad is behind it, that will be. And this is the telling part, Sandra, and I think it's rather a brilliant comparison. That'll be about as effective as fining a corporation like BP as it continues to spill and spill and spill while its high-level executives go free or go on and collect their undeserved bonuses. It's the same thing. The people that are going to get punished are the same as the people who were working on the Horizon oil platform when it exploded, just working stiffs. But
yeah, no,
yeah, but kill them, okay?
No, but this whole thing is just so corrupt, because numbers that I heard I thought was interesting. It's like, well, in 2012, the arms sales were like $71 billion, and that's been cut by like, it's down to 30. So, I mean, I'm sorry. I hear stuff like that, and I think, I guess. Because, we have a sick war economy, which needs to be fed. And with these other wars winding down, well, hell, we got to get something else going, because we've shipped off our manufacturing base. There's nothing here but nasty service jobs, and so you got to keep that GDP up, and you know you can raise GDP through death, destruction, calamity. It don't matter.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Don't think that doesn't resonate with me, because you know every time a train load of mountaintop removal coal leaves here and gets on a boat and goes to China or Japan or India or Russia, you know that's contributing to keeping our trade deficit down, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. So, and the thing is, that's really disturbing me as a student of U.S. government. You know, in fact, it just has, you know, steam coming out of my ear is this complete lack of this whole discussion about, well, Obama still hasn't decided. I'm like, excuse me, are we now really just, is he just now a tyrant? Is that what's going on? Because,
Or is he President Hamlet?
Well, it's just war, you know, the war making. I mean, Madison is spinning. They're all spinning because we have bypassed the Congress and now the media bypassed it. It's not even discussed.
No.
If it's discussed, it's framed in, well, yeah, he's okay to do it. Is he? Since when? And it's just.
Right.
You know,
no War Powers Act.
Nothing.
No it's Article just, 1, just, Section 8.
No UN either. At least Bush went to the. This person is not doing either.
Because, you know, we're just going to lob a few cruise missiles in.
Well, it's not. Anyway.
But
you were
the first person, Sandra, who ever introduced me to the phrase cruise missile liberals.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, that has rung like a damn bell inside my head as I watch all of these people. Well, you know, obviously, we've got to do something about it. And never, not once, have I heard one person stand up and say, whatever happened to mind our own business?
Well, and not only that, no, we don't even have to go there. You can still stay in the Wilsonian tradition by asking to convene a peace conference. That is within that tradition.
Sure it is.
I've read many articles about it, trust me. And it's just kind of like, hello? You know, they're not even going with any of the international norms that are just aplenty that have been put together over the last 60 years to be used.
Have you seen some of the imagery that is coming out in Egypt lately, Sandra? Granted, we're talking about visuals, and I know what trouble that gets me in. But in Egypt, it is now acceptable to put up a poster of Barack Obama with a sort of cut and pasted on Muslim Brotherhood beard, and there's this undercurrent of, I mean, there's always been an undercurrent of not particularly fond of the United States, but it's out front now, and you've got people saying that Barack Obama is in cahoots with the Muslim Brotherhood. That's inside Egypt, okay? So, you know, guess where that came from? You know, that's what you get out of 5 years of people hollering about the Kenyan Muslim. And it all just creates this intractable dynamic where the only thing you can say is that nothing good can come of any of this.
Well, no, but, you know, the U.S. isn't threatening to take out targets in Egypt, and, you know, and they're, like, massacring people. You know, so it's just such a joke. I mean, you know, I can't... You know, the concern about all the dead babies is like, yeah, sure. Because remember the babies being stabbed in the incubator
God.
In the first Gulf War?
Yeah.
Then we had the WMD with Bush. So it's just one, you know, a lie after another in order to gin up these attacks. And at some point, people are going to have to say, they keep rolling that beautiful bean footage, and we've all seen it.
Roll that beautiful bean footage. Man,
right.
I laughed my ass off the first time I saw it.
That's funny. No, you know, people... anyway.
But no, you're absolutely right, Sandra. And the fact of the matter is, we have become a very bad, very deadly reality show, you know, America's next hot war.
I know. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean... You know, some people have been suggesting that they're going to start lobbing shit on Thursday. I'm like, oh, no. So.
Oh, but it'll only be a matter of hours. It won't even be days or weeks. Where have we heard?
But,
have they trotted out, we'll be greeted as liberators yet?
Oh, God. No, I mean, the whole thing is, and it's really worrying because, you know, the regional sort of war that can spring out of that, you know, I mean, once Obama starts doing that, it becomes out of his control. It's not like he can control incidents that will come as a result of this. I mean, all of this is just, it is so dangerous. You
well,
know?
Something Jim mentioned, I mean, is there anybody anywhere in the Pentagon who, I mean, maybe just, you know, some little private first class down in the, you know, down in the stacks in the basement somewhere who is tasked with coming up with reasons not to go to war?
Well, there's General Dempsey. That's pretty, you know, head of the, what is it? The, whatever those generals are. He already came out and said that this is problematic, you know? So there's voices out of the actual people who make the war. They don't seem to be too enthused.
Yeah, because we still don't have that cabinet level position, you know, the guy who's in charge of just periodically smacking the president on the back of the head. Jesus, Barack.
He found himself to be you know, there's no reason for me to think that he's not going to do anything but accommodate, because I just read where Summers is pretty much a shoe-in. And it's like, oh my God, you know. So he
Yeah, and he'll be in and he'll be in that position for how many years?
Isn't it up to 14?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, but
so
the
he can screw us. Larry Summers can screw America for 14 years.
But the problem with him is he's quote smart, but he has messed up so much, you know? I mean, it's incredible. The litany of horrors that he has sort of laid out.
Yeah, it's kind of got a being there flavor to it, doesn't it?
Well, he's just, you know, he's people who fail up, you know. That's just, he seems to be one of them. But I don't know. All I know is this shit sure did knock Snowden off the, and Fukushima off the front page, didn't it?
I mean, out of sight.
Right, Snowden, ooh.
Yeah, and who?
Anyway, you know, so there's that purpose, too. But,
well, and that, but, you know, but that remains a sort of subtext behind all the posturing with Russia, doesn't it?
Well, you know, Russia, you know, I mean, as disturbing as that society is, you know, Putin is just making me laugh because he really don't give a F. He keeps saying, you know, the exact opposite of what they want to hear out of Washington. So Moscow has got his own agenda going, and Saudi Arabia, you know, they are like right at the table, which we don't hear too much about because they don't want to make that too loud. But, you know, Saudi Arabia is kind of running shit, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, Bandar Bush,
right,
is right up in the middle of it. He's a scary sucker. I don't know about that dude, but he's pretty creepy.
Yeah,
but
sitting in the I always think of that picture of him sitting in the family box down there at back before the Jerry Jones, the Taj Mahal was built, sitting in the family box with the Bushes, watching football games and chomping Cuban cigars.
Oh yeah, he's another one of them hand holders.
Yeah.
They all, you know, whatever, loved up, and but they're trying to, yeah, it's just. I keep thinking about The Great Game by that bitch's father on a...
Oh, Brzezinski?
Yeah, that book, The Great Game. You know, he laid out all the different countries that need to be checked. And it's just rolling along, just like he said, you know, Syria, you know, the road to Tehran is Damascus. You know, so it's all kind of like... you know, it's there, and the Syria thing is just part of the dominoes that need to fall.
It beats the daylights out of me. I mean, like I said, I went wandering off down the Lawrence of Arabia path the other night, and this is all just an echo from 1918.
Well, and there's a lot of activity in Cyprus, and if you look at where Cyprus is for you geography challenged Yanks out there, Cyprus is real near Syria. Yay!
Yeah, the beachhead.
There's a real huge British base there, and apparently there's a lot of activity going on. So, you know, they bailed in that country, and now it's being used as a base for whatever third world war is happening, or who knows. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit worried. I don't know what to think with.
Well, I mean, does it blow your mind as much as I do when you consider who the opposition is in Syria, to realize that after a decade of going bruga 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 every time we mention Al-Qaeda, that we're going to be lobbing cruise missiles into Syria on behalf of Al-Qaeda now? Because,
they're the opposition. Yeah,
well,
that was the other thing that Dempsey was saying. He's like, well, we're not, you know, the opposition there... I don't know, they use some sort of, gibberish, lingo, but it's basically saying that, we are concerned that Al-Qaeda is part of the opposition and we're not prepared to, match our interests with that. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, cause see, this isn't Spain in the 1930s. It's not some clear delineation between royalists and republicans. You've got Bashar Assad's regime. Then you've got Al-Qaeda, and then you've got, you know, a dozen little groups.
Well, you got the Alawites, you got the Sunni, Shia. I mean, you got the whole breakup in Syria. You know, Syria is a pretty diverse place, and now it's fractured, and, you know, it's a hellscape. And you think us lobbing huge million-dollar missiles is going to do anything but add to that hellscape? That's the thing that's really disturbing to me, you know, as a person living in California, I'm thinking, well, who's on the end of those missiles, you see? That's the thing that people don't want to wrap their head around.
And I ask you the same question that I asked Jim. What happens when we lob the cruise missiles at Syria and Iran lobs their missiles at Israel, and Israel's going to just sit there and mind their own business?
Well, you know.
I mean, that's never really happened before, has it?
Right, and Lebanon, don't forget that whole madness. So,
sure, why not? You know, invite everybody to the party.
Well, and you know, and Lebanon is like some sort of libertarian wonderland. I don't know if you know that, but it's everything is privatized there. I mean, for real. Like, if you're rich, you have nice water and you can flush a toilet, and all the rich people's shit flows down to where everybody else has to live. It's really just that clear. It's pretty outrageous.
Well, it is, and I can't, like I said earlier, I find it very difficult to talk about this, Sandra, because how is there any military solution?
I don't know. The thing about it,
it's not sexy, and you don't get to run like really bassy, boomy music for your breaks and run these really cool graphics and everything, you know, for a peace conference. But you know, does everything have to be for the benefit of the six corporations that run media on this planet?
Yeah, no, I mean, it really does come down to that, and I think there's also a concern, with the strength of the dollar as the reserve currency. You know, you always have to look at that when we're like flexing our war muscles, because you know, some of these countries, you know, they may be loosening up on the use of petrodollars. That's a surefire way of getting your ass bombed into the next last century.
Their millennium, right? And by the way, just one last thing, because I haven't seen it. Maybe you have. Has that wild-eyed peacenik Rand Paul? Where's he on all of this?
I heard a peep from that racist. Where the hell is he?
Yeah, I mean, you know, last I checked, remember, Code Pink was delivering him flowers and talking about his testicles and you know, how he was opposed to drone, even though he wasn't. He was just opposed to drones flying over, you know, KFO operations in the U.S. He was okay with slaughtering brown people in Yemen. That was all right. But I mean, this is one of those guys who's supposed to be the, you know, new old guard for American isolationism.
Isolationist, yeah, you know, in the grand tradition of Lindbergh, that fascist. So yeah.
Yeah, right.
Keep that going. Well, is President not sure done soiling the memory of Martin Luther King yet?
Oh, did you watch the remark?
None of that. I'm like, you know, you need to sit the hell down. I couldn't get my head around it. Sorry. I've heard other speeches from Martin Luther King besides I Have a Dream.
Yeah, see,
that man was not into war, last I heard.
No, see, I'm real down with that Riverside Church speech. Because that, you know, that thing will make the little hairs stand up on the back of your neck. Talking about, you know, the way he talked about white folks from the red clay of Georgia in the I Have a Dream speech. Well, he talked about those people in the Riverside speech, only he talked about sending, you know, the rednecks and the brothers to Vietnam.
Well, let me ask you something. Did the corporate media even say the March on Washington for freedom and jobs?
No, see,
did they ever say that?
No.
Did they ever say that?
No.
They only say the March on Washington, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I just think that in itself is like, well, you know, because, yeah, it's really important, that second part of what that march was, you know?
Okay, oh, by the way, update from Isaac. Rand Paul urges caution on Syria. We should ascertain who used the weapons. Yeah, because, I mean, he's out. Okay, so here's the statement. We should ascertain who used the weapons, and we should have an open debate in Congress over whether the situation warrants U.S. involvement. The Constitution grants the power to declare war to Congress, not this president.
Yeah, okay, well, I agree with him on that.
Okay, the war in Syria has no clear national security connection to the United States. What he's saying there is no oil. And victory by either side will not necessarily bring into power people friendly to the United States. So, well, okay, it's hard to disagree with that, because they're sort of bland and banal, aren't they? I mean, isn't that just a recitation of what we already know we don't...
Well, yeah, I mean, he's just sort of stating what is, you know, apparently the law. But this is the quote that I've been looking at that really kills me. It's Obama, I guess, in 2008. He says, the president does not have the power under the Constitution to unilaterally authorize a military attack in a situation that does not involve stopping an actual or imminent threat to the nation, which is... Hamilton and his energetic executive bullshit. That's what that was about. When there's somebody coming down on us, you know, you need somebody there to make that decision. This serious stuff does not gel with that quote from Mr. Obama, right?
No, not in the least.
Okay, what the hell?
Well, that's... my take on that, Sandra, is that... After you say something like that, your national security advisor and maybe a joint chief or two sit down with you and go, Mr. President, you're wrong. We had 8 years to establish, you know, we didn't spend 8 years establishing the unitary executive for you to come in here and say,
Yeah, well, at any rate.
I want to do it. Oh, okay, maybe I might.
Yeah, well, he's already done it. I mean, the whole let's make Libya a failed state operation. Or Operation Libya failed.
Right, is there anybody considering the politics of this in his administration, Sandra? Because he's dealing with an opposition in our country, you know, the Republicans and the teabaggers and whatnot, who hate him, who have spent the last 2 weeks. They spent the entire summer screeching and squealing about Benghazi and the IRS. Spent the last 2 weeks talking impeachment. And now he's just gonna say, you know, F you, I'm gonna do what I want to do. I mean, does he really want to see the impeachment proceedings start?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't. You know, I think the I word. I don't have no problems with the I word with this. I'm sick of the war making.
Well, it's almost like he's begging him to.
I don't know what he's doing, but I just don't think that this particular exercise is gonna be. It's horrible. I mean, you know, we're told constantly that we can't afford shit. We got sequester. We can't feed people. We can't provide medical care, student loans, on and on. So how dare they talk about this or even think about doing it and still look at the Americans in our face and say, sorry, but you can't go to the doctor, or sorry, no more food stamps for you. I mean, it's just getting to be completely blatant. So, you know, I don't know.
But the cable's still on, so nobody's going to take to the streets, right?
But the cable isn't. You know, the apparently the Time Warner thing is about to blow up because it's starting to F with football. And so that little situation is going to apparently cause Congress to get up in these corporations' business. So keep your eye out on
that. Yeah, did I see something about Google wants to buy into the NFL broadcast?
Well, yeah, the NFL want to be able to run games on, you know, online. I guess they want to bypass the networks. Who knows what they want to do? But I mean, that's just more just a money game. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, of course it is.
No, I mean, but I don't know if it's gonna be you know, how is it gonna benefit if it's.
And you know what? It'll be hilarious because Congress will all the dysfunction will just. Gone, and all the dystopian elements, right? Gone, and they'll be able to come to some sort of an agreement about the NFL, right? I mean, they came to an agreement about sequestration and them being inconvenienced at airports.
Yeah, no, I think that will push Time Warner to sort of out their little beef that they have with CBS.
Oh, and by the way, did you see the other element of this? Because you know, in the modern era, there's always going to be a cyber aspect to any conflict. Did you notice that the New York Times website got taken down?
Oh yeah, I didn't know what that was about, but I did.
It was pro Assad backed hackers, apparently. I mean, that's the claim that's being made.
Oh no! See, once again, though, I don't know about that. That just fits in with their. I mean, I saw a picture of Assad. Looking real Hitlerian, too. I'm like, oh, no. They had a picture of him. He's looking like Adolf.
Yeah, much much more, and they'll just be Photoshopping straight up.
Right. They'll put a little mustache right there, and it'll be, you know, or they'll, you know, I keep waiting for his horrible picture. Because he was that guy.
Oh, nasty.
Yeah, but anyway, listen, I got to go. I got to go to work.
Oh, man. I understand. Thank you, Sandra. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye. We didn't really get to preview the last the last game of the preseason, or the Jets and Rex Ryan and what an apparent dumbass he is. I'm sorry, I got to divert away from sometimes I got to, and that's kind of where Sandra comes from too, if I might dare speak for her. That's why we wind up talking about football once in a while. Because I guess this will be the evening's Mandatar Trek reference. Isn't there an element to this Syria business that smacks a little of Kobayashi Maru? And I know that a lot of people think that Barack Obama's a Vulcan or something, but, oh well. Nice little email coming in from Andy in Alexandria, Virginia. He says, I wrote several months ago, and by the way, my apologies for the buffing. Yes, the thunderstorm is blowing through here, and yes, the interweb tubes are just gagging, but hopefully we'll have some sort of a program. I'll make sure that the file gets to Ben Birch, because now that we've buffered a few times, his file will probably be a mess. Anyway, Andy says, subject line, thinking about beliefs. This is Andy from Alexandria. I wrote several months ago about that turkey processing plant, I forget now where it was, whose owners were exploiting the disabled workers. Well, it was headquartered in Texas, but the exploitation was taking place in Iowa? Was it? I mentioned at the time that I have a friend abused by a house parent in Stanton who tried to shake the devil out of him. I guess it didn't work, since he uses his evil brain to think for himself, and that brings me to my main point. There needs to be a hell of a lot more of that devilish thinking going on, Andy says, in the United States. The thing I share with you is an interest in words, their origins, and their meanings. I sometimes get curious about a word, and then I go and look up its etymology. This past weekend, I got curious about the word believe. You might already know that the word comes from a root meaning to hold dear or love. That was new to me, but it made sense. There are a lot of things that all of us might love to be true. Some of them are true, and some of them are not true. That's where the little-ish ungodly things like sanity and logic come in really handy. As an ex-Christian myself, I understand the draw of the little gems of wisdom in the Bible. That being said, there's a reason I stopped basing my morality on that book. My reason is pretty simple. I care about people more than I care about verses in a book, some of which are pretty damn crazy. I've gotten to know the voices of some of the Horn Commune, and I've heard some of the debates over religion. I'm also pretty sure that there are also Christians, and perhaps some of other faiths in the family, who don't debate with you per se. I think it's a pretty good bet that most of the Horn Commune are sane, or at least try to be so, whether religious or not. I think most of us have a lot of real empathy. I don't think you're being too hard on anyone. What I heard in tonight's filibuster was a desire for us to think about what we believe or hold dear. There's nothing wrong with that. So preach on, Brother Bob. I find your honesty refreshing. I'm getting my finances in order, Andy says, but soon I plan to use the subscription feature over at headonradionetwork.com, the PayPal subscription feature. I'm getting some other friends turned onto the horn, so I'd like to help out so the conversation keeps going. Have a good one, Andy. Thank you, Andy. Thank you for all of that. And, of course, you know, when I think about the word believe, I've often said it's the single most dangerous word in the English language. For instance, we believe that Bashar Assad's regime gassed its own people. That can get pretty dangerous. I believe that little girls who have never had sex can give birth to little godlings. And out of that, you get 2,000 years of warfare and bloodshed. You know, that's how it goes. So, yeah, but I did not know the part about the actual English pronunciation being derived from the idea of holding something dear, because that is exactly where the problem lies. We just want it to be true, so we'll hold it dear in our hearts and tell our brains and our faculties of reason to go take an effing hike. Back to the phones. Oh, by the way, I invite anyone to use that subscription feature. But here we are at 18 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock, and we still haven't had anybody to join in with Jason to meet tonight's goal, which means if we don't meet tonight's goal, then, well, it's almost pretty much a lock that we're going to finish August in the hole, and which means we will finish July in a hole, June in a hole, here a hole, there a hole, everywhere a hole, hole. Ugh. And so with no program tomorrow night, if it just turns out there's no program on Friday, it might mean because we didn't get all the bills paid. Marty writing in, we believe also should be answered with, how do you know? Exactly. Lines open, 304-658-3333, and we go forthwith to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Jeremy, what's happening?
I haven't really been watching the news this week. Basically, I had discussed about what we're about to do for the next 4 days. It's pretty much a lock. It's going to happen. And we've probably got reporters from MSNBC, CNN, Fox, ABC, any numerous positions headed out to Syria right now to hide out where they think they're going to see explosions happen from. And we're basically going to demolish another country.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a victim of this. I understand why it's being done, but being the world police is really getting thin on a lot of people's minds. And generally, when we attack someone else to stop them from doing something, we kill tons of civilians in the process, if not millions.
And
now, this guy's already called our bluff and said, you won't do anything. Take note of Afghanistan and Iraq. We didn't give a shit. We went there anyway.
Right.
Now, we say we're not going to send troops in, but we know that Syria is just a hop, jump, and a skip from Iran.
Well, you just kind of blow over the Iraqi airspace, and there you are.
Yeah, we don't need that kind of secured because we kind of got that under control. Even though the war in Iraq ended last year, we know, what was it, 2 years ago, we have no more troops there, there's no males, we pulled them all out, bullshit, they're still there. We have troops there, they're not necessarily troops, but they're Blackwater troops, they're contractors, and I think the number's in like the 20,000 range or something like that. Maybe even 50. which will permanently be there. I mean, we built the world's largest, what, United States outpost there? You can see it from space.
Wow. Yeah.
So I haven't really watched a lot of news, because I don't want to see the build-up to this, because I know they're going to pump it on every channel for as long as they can, and oh my God, what's going to happen? But since it's church night, I do have one small, I guess we could call it a miracle.
Really? There's a miracle?
You're going to enjoy this one, Mom. I think everyone else will, too. I've mentioned it a couple times. The last 4 or 5 years, the state of Vermont and our local Entergy bastards, Vermont Yankee Nuclear, have been fighting over closing the plant. Last year, the Supreme Court of Vermont ruled against them and said, you guys have to close within X amount of years. I think it was by the year 2018 or something like that. Maybe sooner, I forget. Well, Entergy went out. They're out of Louisiana. They went out and got some high-powered lawyers and got the Supreme Court to overturn that, so you guys can stay open, no one can tell you to close. This whole time this has been going on, this nuclear power plant's been leaking, I think, tritium particles into one of Vermont's rivers. It's been showing up in fish. They've been saying, oh, it's not harmless. All radioactive particles are harmless, are harmful. Showing up in fish, showing up in test holes around the plant. Well, like I said, they were told they could stay open. Yesterday they announced they're closing next fall. All on their own.
Just because?
Just because. Even though they were just told they could stay open by the Supreme Court, now they're saying they're closing next fall. Which will cause a job loss for the area, but greater things for mankind. Unfortunately, as this story came up, someone had posted it on social media somewhere, and people I know of are from Tennessee and some other states somewhat in your region of the country. And they said, we'll happily sell you our coal.
Yeah, coal.
Yeah, so for every step forward, there's two steps back. So with that, I kind of want to put one of those signs on all of us, place here, bang, head on spot, right on the wall when someone said that.
One of the things, I saw something, I'm used to talking about mountaintop removal coal going to China, mountaintop removal coal going to Russia, mountaintop removal coal going to India, etc. I saw Japan added to that list today. And that may have something to do with the fact that they lost a lot of power generating capacity when Fukushima went belly up and began poisoning the world.
Having heard there's nothing wrong, they secured it. There's no leak there, Bob. There hasn't been a leak.
Right.
Vastly overstated.
Yes, vastly.
Even though it's probably vastly overstated without being stated enough.
Yeah, that's the thing. A media blackout becomes vastly overstated through miracle of modern communications, Jeremy?
Yeah, plus some of those, shall we say, civilizations over in that part of the world do media blackouts quite well and tell their people what they want them to hear and what they need to know.
Jeez.
It's just like I compare their media blackouts to people who base all of their thoughts on Fox, and they hear Al Jazeera and, oh my God, they're terrorists, they're going to blow us up, they're the ones that attacked the World Trade Center. If the terrorists aren't even coming to America, they're going to run a news agency here. They're Muslims.
Oh, I've seen the right wing hissy over Al Jazeera America, and of all the weirdness out there, you know what struck me as being the weirdest? I saw a tweet from, of all people, and I didn't realize he was out there being an influential wingnut or teabagger or whatever. I saw a tweet about Al Jazeera America from. You got the tennis balls and the duct tape handy, Jeremy?
It's been a long week. I don't have any of those left.
Yeah, Chuck Woolery. Yeah, the guy who originated Wheel of Fortune, and I'll take the concrete dog sculpture for $750, Chuck. That Chuck Woolery.
That's nice.
I mean. Yeah, a game show host is concerned about how, and let's see, then there was a Zumwalt who wrote an editorial about how bad, you know, how Al Gore needs, I don't know, strung up by his thumbs or something for selling current TV. Well, hell, some Walt wasn't watching current TV in the first place. What the hell does he? Well, you know, what they're going to, and this is the beautiful part, Jeremy, what they're going to do is they're going to put Al Jazeera America on cable systems in these communities that have a lot of Muslims in it. And they're going to radicalize them, and they're all going to be Al-Qaeda terror cells by breakfast.
Living under Sharia law.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Sharia law, certainly, absolutely.
It's the biggest fear. I watch current TV. I enjoy it more when Keith was on it, just because I enjoy his version of sarcasm better than average news.
Well, his sports show on ESPN is pretty decent, by the way.
I didn't even know he was. I heard he was coming back, but I didn't know he was back.
Yeah, he's back, and it's very similar to his original MSNBC gig, only it's sports and not politics.
And that's kind of too bad, because Keith was a good weapon. He liked to pound on the idiots out there. He loved it, even though he was silenced by Gore and he was silenced by MSNBC. Yeah. Oh. And to beat a dead horse, even though it's not really dead, it's an important issue. I noticed how this weekend passed. The big story was Bradley Manning again.
Chelsea.
Yes, and oh my God, he wants to do this. He wants to do this. What can we do to punish him more, make his life more miserable?
Yeah,
and
what
was... The people they had and the people from the military who couldn't speak about it said they wouldn't do anything for him, they wouldn't give him counseling, they couldn't do any of it, they weren't authorized to do that.
Right. Oh, and by the way, Marty just pointed out, and rightly, he said, of course, there are people who were castigating Al Gore for not selling TV to the Beckerhead and the Blaze. Maybe they're pissed off about.
They're probably pissed off about. That is, I didn't know that was an option in the selling. I didn't know that Becker was looking to buy that channel.
Oh, I remember it back, that he made a, of course he didn't have the money. I mean, it would have taken everything he made in a year.
If he pulled that off, I think it would have smashed all my TVs and my laptops. And just stop listening to the radio, because he'd be everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you already can't get away from him, and he still says stuff that blabbles out, and I believe it was you. I haven't listened to a lot of radio this week, unfortunately, but I heard bits and pieces of different things, and I think you played the clip of something this weekend that went on. I think it was on MSNBC of people's dreams and views for the country, and Romney's kind of like blather he let out.
Yeah,
I got a good little kick out of that one. That was a. That was,
oh, you mean the pithy remark about Martin Luther King's dream will be an America that is and then something about inspired churches. Yeah.
It wasn't too long ago that men still believed in separation of white and black.
No, that it wasn't so much that. It wasn't that long back, Jeremy, that the Mormon Church didn't believe persons of for instance,
monkeys.
A black man could not, and of course a black woman can't either, but a black man could not enter the so-called priesthood class of the Mormon Church, and thereby, when he dies and goes to Kolob or wherever, get his own planet to be god of.
Didn't they say something to the extent of, that's why African Americans have dark skin, to show their sins to their Lord. I heard some crazy thing like that, where they basically said that it's because of the sins they've done throughout the eons that they're colored the way they are, so that they can stick out from...
Yeah, that's the sins of Ham argument, yes.
Yeah, I thought I heard that crazy BS somewhere, too. In between all this fun... Last week, we heard Obama say that he doesn't condone countries attacking their citizens.
Right.
But the video that Bradley Manning leaked seems to kind of be in contempt of that statement.
Well, if not outright disproved by, yeah.
That, and then that story from 6 months ago about the other Apache gunship that blew up five Afghani kids as they gathered firewood. because they look like they're planting bombs in the trees.
In the trees?
There was a story from, I want to say 6 months ago, it was probably this spring, where an Apache was out in patrol in Afghanistan, I want to say in Kandahar, and there's five school-age kids out gathering firewood for their homes. Apache zeroed them and blew them all up.
Damn.
Hellfire missile. End of that problem from gathering firewood for their families. They became, as Mike Malloy says, red mist.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's what I prefer to think of cruise missiles as, little red mist machines. Oh, and by the way, you, our buddy Malloy, a big shout-out and congratulations. You know, it was last night at 10 p.m. Eastern that Malloy announced their Kickstarter campaign to upgrade their equipment and go to video and everything.
Yeah.
It was a $25,000 Kickstarter campaign. It reached its goal of $25,000 pledged on Kickstarter, something like, let's see.
It was less than a day.
18 hours. 18 hours after it went live. So that is really, really huge.
I'm sure him and Kathy are tickled to death because...
I'm tickled to death. I
think we're all tickled to death over it. I mean, it breathes new life into the program, and people will get, myself included, will get a different version of Mike, not this FCC-regulated version. I mean, he's always making... I can't think of the words right now. He's alluring to things that he's doing on the camera, which we can't see. But, I mean... So I'm ready to see that. I really am. It'll be nice.
Oh, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and hopefully it will.
He's a powerhouse.
I was going to say hopefully it'll make the program viable for years to come, and just completely expand the reach, because we can't afford to lose any more progressive programming.
No, we can't, and we all know that Mike and his wife are a powerhouse in terms of being on our side. The right-wingers are terrified of him, because he doesn't hold back for the most part, especially if he's not going to be censored on his own media version now. He can say whatever the hell he wants, which would be more entertaining than anything.
Exactly.
I mean, I definitely like to have included so many people in that video, even went to the means of including Sean Hannity. I got a good laugh out of that one. That was hilarious.
Of course, my favorite part was Willie Nelson.
Yeah, I'm saying he was busy right now, he couldn't help.
Yeah. God bless God or somebody or something. Bless Willie.
So that was definitely, I guess that was one of the more positive things I've seen lately, to see that go so quickly and not be drought. Now, like I alluded to in my own statement earlier to you, maybe at some point once the roof is fixed.
Well, let's not talk about roofs here. It's raining right now. I can hear the water dripping in my bedroom.
I'm sorry. I forgot about that. I meant no disrespect. But it was just.
Oh no. I didn't take it that way. I mean, that's just the reality here. I mean, when we talk about operating on shoestring here, we're not kidding.
I'm sure. I operate on a shoestring personally, so I understand the stresses of it to an extent, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the derecho came through last year, and, you know, we were just devastated. The roof got ruined. I lost a washer, a dryer. I didn't lose it. We did. A washer, a dryer, a water heater, a stove or part of a stove, a microwave oven, and a refrigerator and a freezer, and the roof. And that's what we've been dealing with for over a year now.
If I could get everything I made and still live a decent life, I'd happily do it to you guys in Malloy. These are my pockets.
Oh, no. This is not a guilt trip. I mean, I just my only point is that, and because we talk about this being a working people's program and a working class program, and it really is. I mean, when I hear some millionaire talking about the problems of the working class. I'm jaded enough to wonder if that person really understands. And you know, so yes, my loyalties lie with people like Malloy and my buddy Rick Smith here, who comes on after this program every evening, because, you know, they know what it is to work for a living.
Right.
And I don't know, you know, I just don't know if a millionaire understands that.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not trying to start a class war or anything now, Jeremy, but...
No. I was going to say, I think that a lot of different factors come into that. It depends on where you came from. There are some self-made millionaires out there that came from absolute nothing, and they do generally give back. And I know some personally that are definitely millionaires that do help out around them. They're not bad people. But, yes, there is quite a few millionaires out there, Romney, to name one.
Right.
He doesn't give a shit about people around him.
Well, I mean, let's be fair. He does give a, but he only gives a shit to the extent that the people around him can do what he says that his God wants them to do.
Right. And then you've got the worst offenders in my mind in terms of what they do, companies like Apple. I'm sure Samsung does it too. But Apple, with their tax dodge they did a couple months back, which is like $9 billion tax dodge, by moving their money to the Cayman Islands or something.
Sure.
And that money itself could fund some of our most needed things for a vast amount of time out into the future. That would solve all our problems right there, that money. But since it's a corporate interest, there was profit in paying back the stockholders.
Right, right. You know, it's all about the quarterly profit and loss statement, not even long-term stuff. Yeah, right.
Well, that's good enough, Bob. I'll let you go, and you can talk to someone else.
All right, Jeremy, you have yourself a good evening up there in Vermont, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, bye now. Our buddy Jeremy, as I noted, calling from Vermont. Hey, thanks to Sal. Sal is so often there, night in and night out, but we can never say thank you enough. So with Sal's help, we moved the needle a little bit on tonight's fundraising goal. And we only need 12 folks at 10 bucks a piece to get us to that $150 mark. Quick tweet coming in from our buddy Isaac. Isaac's feeling a little smart alecky this evening, I think. He says, hey, Bob, do you want me to pray for your roof? Nah, Isaac, I think you can take a pass on praying for my roof. My roof might be past praying for. Jesus. But it's just life. It's just life. Got our doors blown off by the derecho. Shucks. I think climate change is so interesting, don't you? And you know, It takes everything we can to keep this going. And I hate to even miss a program like, well, tomorrow night. But I've got to be down there to support my colleague and a man I think of as my brother, Bo Webb, as he sits among the proponents of poison and agony and anguish and misery and grim death. Yeah, a little something. I mentioned that story last night about the judge in Kentucky who said, yeah, hell yeah, blow them mountains up. Well, it's oddly enough, the area that will be affected by the mountain that U.S. Senior District Judge and Clinton appointee Thomas B. Russell said yesterday, Sassafras, Kentucky, sits below one of the mountains. But so, too, does a little community called Vicco, V-I-C-C-O, Kentucky. And the irony in that is the fact that Vicco, Kentucky, was the little town that was featured by Stephen Colbert a couple of weeks back in a segment entitled People Destroying America. This was the town with the gay hairdresser for a mayor who had just gotten the city council to pass a non-discrimination ordinance. So sitting there in the shadow of a soon-to-be blasted mountain with a shower of poison already falling and soon to fall even more upon them, they will at least, as they are poisoned, be able to be poisoned without the town being able to discriminate against anybody for their sexual orientation, which is a good thing. It means, for instance, that when a gay person finds out that they've got cancer, that they can't be fired from their job for being gay. So maybe they can hang on to their insurance coverage while their loved ones gather about them and watch them prepare to depart this planet, because mountaintop removal profits are more important than either gay or straight people's lives. From the Kentucky.com story of August the 26th, judge, regulators don't have to consider overall health impact of coal mines. This little nugget that you have to get almost to the bottom of the end of the story to read. In their lawsuit against the mining permit, the plaintiffs cited a growing body of evidence, more than 20 epidemiological studies, those are the same studies we talk about in the AIC Act, indicating that people who live near surface mines are more likely to suffer serious health problems, perhaps because of pollutants introduced into the local environment by massive disruptions of land and water. Dust. Somebody say it, please. Dust. And then this paragraph. A cancer mortality cluster sits over the coal fields of southeastern Kentucky. No, it doesn't sit over the coal fields. It's in the communities. It's in the human bodies. A cancer mortality cluster resides in the bodies of people who live near mountaintop removal in southeastern Kentucky. Researchers say this disparity remains even after poverty, low education, smoking, healthy diet, and other negative factors are taken into account. Similarly, and this is how the story ends, similarly, a 2011 study at the University of Kentucky revealed that toenail clippings, okay, everybody chuckled, toenail clippings, actually it's medically relevant. Similarly, a 2011 study at the University of Kentucky revealed that toenail clippings taken from eastern Kentucky coal county residents showed higher levels of arsenic, cadmium, and nickel than clippings taken from residents of industrialized Louisville. These heavy metals can cause a range of illnesses and disabilities, particularly in children. Maybe, one of the reasons that I have such misgivings about raining explosives down on people in Syria is because I live in a region where the detritus, the dust, the poison, the toxic waste of explosives rain daily upon us, drift and boil down mountainsides, covering homes, landing on pets, finding its way into the breathing passages of children and adults alike. Maybe that's it. And here, just for purposes of comparison, assuming that President Not Sure begins to rain grim misery and death and agony and anguish upon some portion of the Syrian people, how many, and this is a math problem, but it's also a research problem, but I'd be interested, how many Tomahawk cruise missiles would President Obama have to order be fired into Syria in order to equal the amount of one day's blasting in the hell fields of Appalachia. One day. I don't know what the warhead payload delivery is on a Tomahawk cruise missile, the high explosives. I don't know how much it is. Maybe I'll take a peep into the chat room and see if anybody's working on that. Here's the way you have to do the math on this. Yeah, it's kind of a homework project, Sparky. Here's the way you have to do the math. You have to find out how many pounds of high explosives there are in a Tomahawk cruise missile that will be, say, tasked and targeted for some godforsaken spot in Syria. And believe me, when the missiles begin falling, that spot is godforsaken, even if he was real. You have to take the amount of explosives in one cruise missile and find out how many times that number gazentas 5.5 million. And then you'll know how many Tomahawk cruise missiles we would send into Syria to equal one day in the hell fields of Central Appalachia. That's how that math works. There are 5.5 million pounds of the same high explosives, ammonium nitrate and fuel oil, that Timothy McVeigh used on the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City, 5.5 million pounds of that every day. And how many pounds are in the warhead of a Tomahawk cruise missile? And so if you divide one into the other, you'll get an idea of how many cruise missiles worth of explosives are used on places like Sassafras, Kentucky, or Vico, Kentucky, or above Lindytown, West Virginia, or what is left of Lindytown, West Virginia, where in which a lawsuit was recently filed trying to protect an ancient cemetery that sits above that used to be a town. Right now, it has been blasted. The mountain has been blasted away all around the cemetery with graves that go back into the 1700s. And the coal company has mined underneath the graves and all around it. And when people go to visit the last resting places of their loved ones, mine thugs are there to confiscate cameras and phones so that nobody can show pictures of what has been done. But yeah, if you do that little bit of long division, you'll find out how many cruise missiles worth of explosives American citizens are subjected to every day of the year except Christmas. Whoa. Because I've got a feeling it's going to be a damned big number. So I guess we are at the end of tonight's prayer meeting edition of The Horn. And we will find ourselves ending once again, just scrambling to keep it going till tomorrow. You know, Bill Clinton spoke today at the March on Washington commemoration. That's, and as Sandra noted, yeah, that's all it was called, the March on Washington commemoration. Bill Clinton spoke. And Bill Clinton is a masterful orator. I got 2 minutes here.
Yes, there remain racial inequalities in employment, income, health, wealth, incarceration and in the victims and perpetrators of violent crime. But we don't face beatings, lynchings, and shootings for our political beliefs anymore. And I would respectfully suggest that Martin Luther King did not live and die to hear his heirs whine about political gridlock. It is time to stop complaining and put our shoulders against the stubborn gates holding the American people back.
Do we get to coin a new word out of that? Telling us to quit whining about gridlock? Did we just get Bill-splained? Sure sounded like it. Who's whining? Who's whining? Are the people who show up for Moral Monday in North Carolina whining? Or are they doing everything in their power to stop a pernicious and evil practice of voter suppression from rearing its ugly head again? Was that whining in Texas? When people in their thousands gathered in the Texas state capitol to protest the right-wing assault on a woman's right to control the workings of her own body? Is it whining when grannies gather in the state capitol of Wisconsin in Madison and are arrested and dragged away for doing nothing more than singing, Bill? Of course, I probably don't have to remind anyone that this is the man who signed into law one of the most devastating pieces of legislation in recent memory, so-called welfare reform. I don't even know if we've got an accurate number to provide a representation. Of those people who have been grievously harmed by that so-called welfare reform, and that moment when he declared that the era of big government is dead. Was it dead or over? I don't remember which. So now that we've been Bill-splained, told to quit whining. Well, do go on, please.
We cannot be disheartened by the forces of resistance to building a modern economy of good jobs and rising incomes, or to rebuilding our education system to give all our children a common core of knowledge necessary to ensure success, or to give Americans of all ages access to affordable college and training programs. And we thank the president for his in those regards. We cannot relax in our efforts to implement health care reform in a way that ends discrimination against those pre-existing conditions, one of which is inadequate income to pay for rising health care. A health care reform that will lower costs and lengthen lives. Nor can we stop investing in science and technology to train our young people of all races for the jobs of tomorrow and to act on what we learn about our bodies, our businesses, and our climate.
What was that about healthy people? Just a few short words. U.S. District Senior Judge Thomas B. Russell, Clinton appointee, who just said he didn't give a good goddamn about the health and well-being of people living beneath toxic waste sites in Kentucky. Thanks. Those were some magnificently hollow words you uttered today in Washington, D.C. Magnificently. And thus do we find ourselves at the end of this prayer meeting Wednesday. Thanks. Thanks to Sal and thanks to Jason for doing what they could to help keep things going this evening. Thank you very, very much. We'll be back Friday evening. Yes, Sparky asked from the chat room. Yes, yes, let's do try to have a the Skype group for Friday night on the front porch. Let's do try. And if you want to participate in the Skype group, just shoot your information to me. I'll forward it on to Sparky, and he'll add you to the group. It's a fun conversation. I invite you to join in and try it. Thanks to everybody who keeps all of this going. First and foremost, you who contribute your time, your energy, your ideas, and yes, your financial help, because it's the only way this all keeps going. You may rest assured, I would not get behind this microphone and just babble away for 3 hours if you didn't say that it was worth not only your money, because we never send a bill, but worth something far more precious. And that is worth your time. Thank you. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and... Thank you to John Fox. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and AICACT.org. Many of them will be there in Charleston tomorrow night, as will I. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Rick Smith is next on the Horn.